Your AI strategy is only as strong as the people using the tools. Pluralsight AI Academy gives your teams the hands-on skills to get more from Claude, ChatGPT, Gemini, and Copilot. Learn more at pluralsight.com/AI Academy.
Coming up on AI Haven't a Clue.
The thing is.
Welcome to the Premier League, everyone.
Can you hack ChatGPT?
The LLMs love this organic human conversation, which doesn't happen very often.
Do you know your LEO from your SEO?
Their interpretation of copyright laws and things like that is different to what a lot of people will consider.
And what do consumers need to know about the future of search?
Yeah, you've been doing your research, I see. So it's...
Makes a change.
Larry, cut off it. Don't get him started.
Well, hello and welcome to AI Haven't a Clue, brought to you with KPMG, where we unpack the wild world of AI. I am tech novice, George Butler.
Yeah, me, robot whisperer James Chandler.
Robot whisperer.
It's all right, isn't it?
Which robots are you whispering to?
Some humanoid with X in its name,
probably. Your at-home little robot Hoover does not count.
Don't degrade it to that.
I'm not degrading it.
It's called Ziggy.
You've named the Hoover.
Yeah, you're allowed to give, when you first started that, you give it a name, called it Ziggy. And then the lawnmower we've called Mowgli.
Yeah, I mean, Mowgli's a top tier name. Where did Ziggy come from?
It zigzags around the floor.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Does it respond to voice?
Not yet.
Okay. This is supposed to be like a futuristic tech podcast. You're supposed to be the innovative leader driving us to new places, and we end up talking about your little granny Hoover.
Yeah, you keep calling it as this granny thing.
No, it's a granny Hoover.
No, it's incredible. It uses AI to detect the floor type, to detect the amount of water that it should do, and it's doing mopping, the avoidance of... Yeah, okay. It's decent.
Ooh, sorry.
I might bring it in. I might bring it in, actually. Give him a little whirl around here. Yeah.
Right.
If you think you've tuned into the wrong podcast, this is not good housekeeping.
Stay tuned for that one.
Yeah.
On your devices, the one thing I'm interested in, your pocket. You remember you talked about it?
Great
for,
guns.
For those that don't recall, it's James's device, which is like a bit creepy because it basically listens in on his conversations all day long. And
little credit card sized thing that attaches to the magnet on the back of your iPhone. At the press of a button, it starts to record, and then you stop recording, and then it gives you these incredible summaries or the transcripts. You can basically query if you've had a conversation or an appointment or it's just...
How's it going for you?
It's really good. You just don't have to remember stuff, and you don't have to trust that you've written something down. Like, my note taking is horrific, so it's great as long as you remember to press the button. And
Are you still telling everybody that is it okay if I record on my pocket?
No, you don't have to tell people.
It's basically spying.
Seek forgiveness after.
Have you caught anything yet that someone shouldn't have said on record?
No, I haven't. I'm sort of using it in a very practical sense for things that ordinarily I would forget. So like a physio appointment, right, do these 10 exercises. So rather than trying to scribble them down or try and remember them and do that very British thing of going, yeah, I've got all that, but you obviously haven't. I'm just using my pocket. But it's good. It comes with me everywhere. Apart from now, I don't seem to have it now.
Oh, yeah, well, that's because I threw it out. Right, we have got a great guest on today.
Oh, yes.
Now, on paper, James, I won't lie, when I first read...
Is this like Love Island or something? On paper, not going to lie.
On paper, I'm not going to lie, this guest wasn't my type, if we're talking Love Island language. Because actually, I thought, is that a bit boring? And then the more I thought about it, the more I thought, no. Because we talk so much around the fact we pour our lives into these LLMs, ChatGPT, Gemini, Claude, whatever you use, we pour our lives into it. We seek the answers to our deepest queries. We get it to book our holidays. Mm. We find the right mortgage to use through ChatGPT. And we don't actually know too much about how they work, the kind of the ins and outs, the technical details about how they deliver the results, and most importantly, how brands and businesses can tap them, can hack them, and can infiltrate the responses. And we've talked a lot about the fact that this is the new frontier, really, for brands and for marketers. But today we can peek behind the curtain and see how they're actually trying to do it.
And we thought we'd get an expert in because, you know, as good as I am, I can't get under the bonnet of this. We thought we'd just get the expert in because why not? And the expert, guy I used to work with a long time ago, and he is the lord of search, of his field, which is SEO, search engine optimization. But more and more, he's doing the AI sort of version of that, which is generative engine optimization. And I could think of no one better than to break it all down, tell us what the acronyms mean, and get into exactly what it means for advertisers, for businesses, and for consumers as well.
As I said, do not be put off if this sounds a bit boring. Actually, it's really important we understand this, and I think it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
Richard Rowley is one of the UK's leading experts on how search is changing in the age of AI. And having led SEO strategy at global companies like Expedia and the AA, Richard now helps businesses navigate the shift from traditional search engines to AI-powered discovery.
From Google AI overviews to ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini, and all the rest, he explains why the old rules of SEO no longer apply, what LEO means, and what brands need to do to stay visible in an AI-first world.
Richard, welcome to AI Having a Clue. Thank you for joining us. We've just heard a bit about your background.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get any further, a couple of acronyms to break down. SEO. What's going on there?
Good starting one. Search engine optimization.
And what is it?
So ultimately, you want to be number one in Google if someone searches for you. Not including the paid search ads, which now dominate most of the page, but you want to be achieving that number one position organically in as much that Google must think you are the best result there. And to do that, you've got to establish yourself as an authority in the eyes of Google, at least.
So if people are searching best podcasts on the world of AI into Google, if
Absolutely.
We have a good SEO response, we'd be high up, right? Okay, that makes sense. And we're going to talk a lot about the changes that AI is kind of bringing to that world and to that sector and what it means for brands and for businesses and for people. Before we do, LEO. We've just heard LEO. James just said it. What on earth is LEO? Because there's a Pixar film. Is it the film?
It's unrelated to the film.
Okay, just to clarify.
So I think this is, so there are several acronyms. Language engine optimization in this instance, but there's also GEO, generative search optimization, or generative engine optimization to make it work. And there are others. So no one's settled on an actual acronym.
Oh, okay.
So,
What's it about? What does it mean? Why is it popping up in conversation now?
Ultimately, as your consumer moves to using ChatGPT for a lot of their sort of like, you know, finding out information and searching, it's making sure when you search for best radio podcast, that comes up number one in that result. So it will typically give you three, you know, based on what it knows about you and what it knows about the industry and the prompt that you put in, it'll provide you with what it thinks is the best result.
We talk a lot about how LLMs are changing the way that we all search for things. Clearly, James is very much in the trenches when it comes to this AI malarkey.
True.
Where are the public at in the sense that are a considerable amount of people not using Google anymore because they're searching into Gemini or into Chat or into Grok or whatever it might be? Or actually, are the nations still using Google and the shift is a little bit slower than maybe we think it could be?
Ultimately, no one's really shared enough information. So OpenAI have that data. They haven't shared it with us. But I can sort of tell anecdotally from the clients, things that I've worked with, the amount of traffic and the amount of sales going through. And I would say over the last couple of months, I've started to see the traffic is less important because it's a different user behavior, but the revenue coming through has really picked up to the point where 6 months ago, it was a nice to have. Now it's like, it can account for like 10 or 20% of the organic. So,
wow.
But that's only just been in the last couple of months. So like, this is a little bit of a bubble, but ultimately, you know, in terms of the people on the street, how many of them are using ChatGPT on a regular basis is so hard to tell. But at some point, perhaps there's going to be a tipping point.
Are you still doing much SEO as you've always done at work? Or is it sort of almost exclusively the generative stuff that you're doing? You've seen a shift?
Only in as much that, I guess, as an independent contractor, the new business for me is the, you know, LLM work.
Yeah.
The SEO stuff hasn't gone away and it's still going to be paying your bills for some time. But ultimately, the interest and the demand and people just trying to figure it out. There's a lot of businesses that are like all in on search and their whole businesses are very much dependent on Google. And they're, you know, asking some questions about, well, how sustainable is that?
Yeah.
So they're naturally kicking the tires on the LLM piece.
other businesses that are quite dependent on Google, of course, are publishers, media owners who rely on for a lot of traffic. They feel like when we've talked to them in a sort of rock and a hard place, you know, they're producing a lot of this content at cost, putting people in war zones to write reports on things. Ultimately, that content is getting sucked up by LLMs and used to sort of feed prompts. How do you see publishers sort of winning in this space? Because the referrals that come through from things like AI overviews are nothing like the search traffic that they were getting before, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think with Google, you had, we didn't think it was very fair at the time, but a reasonably level playing field. And you've got people like the EU coming in to apply pressure and sort of rebalance the market. You could say the LLMs have built a business off, you know, their interpretation of copyright laws and things like that is different to what a lot of people consider. And they've been reasonably successful at like making that work. So these might be a slightly harder group to be working with as a publisher. What they would say is, if you're bringing unique information to the table, we'll take it. But to, you know, be creating as a publisher genuinely unique information all of the time, it's perfectly sensible to bring a point of view or an editorial view on an existing event. But that's not what the robots want.
Yeah.
So clearly, the whole world of search, SEO, as we've touched upon, there is a bit of an art, a formula, whatever you might want to call it, to kind of hacking that system and delivering a better result for your brand, if you're a business. The game is changing. People are turning to AI and LLMs to deliver the results that they were previously searching for on Google. Can you, in a same way, manipulate LLMs in order for your business, your brand, your product to emerge in ChatGPT's answer or in Gemini's response to what you're talking about?
Yeah. So I think it's, although it's obviously incredibly impressive technology, it's sort of new in its rollout. And we've sort of seen big players come in. We've seen Google and Facebook and things. And there are certain things that just get repeated. So the LLMs are sycophants in as much as they want to tell you, you know, what you want to hear. And we love that. But to do that, they've got to find that content. But they'll take any content.
Right.
Doesn't matter how daft your question is, they need to go out there and get that information. I guess they're scraping, which is, I guess, them consuming the content. They will take anything, and they're not really applying the level of criteria that Google would. So Google are very fussy. They've been around a long time in terms of like determining what is good and what is bad content. The LLMs will take anything. And there are a lot of sort of topics and areas that, I say, in terms of the way it works, you ask a question about a product and then it goes away, already knows some information about that. But there aren't many, depending on the type of product, say for argument's sake, it's an pet insurance. Like, people don't discuss this stuff online in the way that you'd want them to.
Yeah.
But there's someone, most of the time, it is affiliates. It's affiliates who have created advertorial content.
Got it.
So everyone is now buying up as much affiliate advertorial content as they possibly can.
What do we mean by that? Where will you find that? What does it look like?
So publishers will, off the back of their websites, create advertorials, which we know about. But those advertorials are typically now sort of like run through an affiliate model. So the payment is based on the number of clicks and things that come through.
Yeah.
You don't usually get a huge amount of clicks, but it's, in certain niches, it can work. Now the LLMs are just looking at that content. It happens to be paid, so it's favorable. It lists who's the best and who's not, and then takes that as read and then copies it over. So that's working quite well.
Let's say you're an airline. Give me an airline.
British Airways.
Mm-hmm. So British Airways wants to come up when you're searching flights to Barcelona. Mm-hmm. BA obviously want to come up in the LLMs as one of the options. So they want to be seen as the best carrier that flies to Barcelona. They might partner with a publisher, pay for a bit of content to go out in which it's talking about how they're the best carrier to take you to Barcelona, and that is fed into the LLM. Is that right?
That's exactly it.
Okay.
What about places like Reddit? I mean, Reddit, there was a report that I think Adweek had seen a Reddit document, a leaked document of their pitch to advertisers saying, look, we're a place where there's loads of human conversations happening about all sorts of things, running shoes, flights to Barcelona.
Thomas Cook. No.
I wonder what that's named after. We're a really good place for referring to LLMs. LLMs quite like us. So, advertisers, you need to be creating content in Reddit. Because there are environments, I guess, where people are talking about pet insurance in depth, probably in some weird subreddit.
Yeah. That is true. And the LLMs love this organic, you know, human conversation, which doesn't happen, you know, very often. But if you go into Reddit, as a brand, as like a, you know, a blue chip brand, you've got to be really careful. Mm. And also, this is a bit of a known quantity. The people on there know what you're trying to do.
Got it.
So it's risky. You've got to go in with a, you know, a strong, you know, editorial strategy and ability to sort of respond to people. And there are players like Google who are aware that a lot of information is coming from Reddit. So they're trying to sort of like, they have a lot of social assets and things themselves. They've got the business listings and things.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they're trying to take as much information from like these reviews and these comments and things, because they don't want to be reliant on Reddit yeah. for all of this information. So yeah, it's Reddit is a great place to be if you can get away with it.
James, you love hyping up AI, don't you?
Well, I'm glass half full about it, yeah.
Half full? Half full? That glass is overspilling.
It's called embracing the future, my friend.
And yes, it obviously is important to do so. And that is what this show is all about. But things are just moving so quickly. It's hard not to question whether there's a disconnect between the tech advancements and what's actually happening in businesses and boardrooms.
I think AI over the last year has moved from probably what used to be a nice to have to a strategic necessity, if you wanted a posh term for it. And you know, we're seeing that for ourselves, even in the news that we cover on a weekly basis. And with that necessity, I think comes this huge pressure to keep up with AI. According to KPMG's latest AI Pulse, 70% of UK business leaders say AI will remain a top priority, with most ready to keep investing even before the ROI is fully proven.
But we often discuss on the show how a lot of AI initiatives struggle to take off or just implemented poorly, especially when it comes to trust, governance, or just getting the workplace ready to actually use AI.
But that's where KPMG come in. They're not just looking at the tech. They're actually helping organisations make the difference by turning AI ambition into a transformation you can actually trust. They focus on scaling with confidence, embedding governance from day one, and getting what everyone loves, measurable value.
And if you are ready to move beyond the pilot phase,
visit kpmg.com/UK to learn more. That's kpmg.com/UK.
Can you talk, a bit ago about in SEO, how Google were quite picky about where they were put. Mm. Is that the quality score? Would you talk a bit about that quality score with Google and why that's sort of changed now with how some of these other...
What do you mean quality score?
Well, I'm asking the expert.
Right, yeah, okay. The algorithm which Google uses is they try and determine, I guess, the quality of the content they're consuming. So the content they consume at the start will feed all the way through the system. So it just... when they're looking at an article, is it genuine? You know, is it well sought? Is it well written? What was the date? And has somebody reviewed it recently? And they're looking for, you know, little clues in the copy and the content of how it's being written, whether it's been, you know, well sourced. So they'll consume that right at the start, and they won't accept it if they don't consider it good enough. And then that feeds all the way through their algorithm. So when the result comes out, it's determined on a good piece of content. The LLMs are more likely to just take anything. So they haven't got to that point. They may well do, which is the... going back to the affiliate piece, like if you're going to buy affiliate stuff for coverage, that's got a limited lifespan on it, and it won't work for Google, at least.
So if I'm a brand, Thomas Cook, for example,
could be others.
I come to you, Richard, and I want to appear more prominently in responses from large language models. What are you advising them to do? What are the must-dos to get off to a good start in that space?
I think I have to assume that it's like, you're starting with Google. So there's a lot of like the references and the analogies all relate back to like, everyone's familiar with Google. This is a build on that. And I think the two things to consider are, well, the big difference with the working with the LLMs is that you're looking for third-party citations. You need other people to reference you and validate you and say what you're saying is correct. Because that's how, at a very basic level, the whole model works. Mm. And that's probably missing. And there aren't that many, outside of Reddit, who is going to sort of vouch for you and what you're talking about. And not just your content in general, but sort of like whenever you're going through an LLM and you ask it for a product recommendation, it typically gives you two or three solutions. But it's always a comparison. So you are being compared to somebody else. Yeah. So you've got to figure out what that criteria is and making sure that the people citing you are referencing something that's going to fit within that those three options. Because if they're not, then you won't make it into that listing.
Yeah.
So that's the challenge, is you're now in a comparison world and you need people to validate that you compare, ideally, favorably, and you're being compared for the right things. There's no point having a proposition that's based on X, but if everybody else is being compared to something else, you're not going to feature. So it's more challenging, and there's a lot more of a place for PR as well, which is obviously PR has always been important, but it's especially so at the moment.
It does feel like there's a sort of bit of a land grab on this as well, and certainly with paid search and with SEO as well, you know, PR were sort of shunted to the side, you know, media sort of came to the fore. It does feel like I read an article somewhere that PR budgets are going to double between now and 2027 because this feels like a sort of sensible home for it.
Yeah, I can believe it. I think some of the clients I've worked with have doubled their budgets with PR, and I've done some training for some PR agencies recently on, you know, how they sort of, they don't need to change the way they work. So the way they work is correct, but they need to measure it in a slightly different way to show the impact of what they're doing.
And do you think, do creators play a role here? We're hearing so much about creators and brands investing in influencers and creators. They could credibly do that validation, right?
Well, yes, but I guess the systems, you know, one's a sort of Instagram environment, and Google and the LLMs don't necessarily have access to that at the moment. Although Instagram have released, so like some pages are now accessible, but not all of it. So that could well change in the future. Yeah. And there might well be specific commercial arrangements between one LLM and that to sort of boost their listings.
We talked a lot about how a brand might look at this space, how businesses might look at this space. Let's talk about the consumer, because it kind of felt like in the traditional kind of SEO model, when someone would search into Google, best airline that flies to Barcelona, you know when the top few links are sponsored because it will say. And then after that, it's kind of fair game. You're searching through the content that you find and you see. Mm. It feels like we're in a different space with LLMs because you're getting back answers and you are kind of putting a bit of trust in the content that you're getting, that you're getting the best advice. And I guess from a tech side of things, the big tech, they're wanting to give consumers the best advice because they want their products to be good and to work. Now, clearly, brands are going to want to tap into this. Clearly, they're going to want to try and infiltrate it and hack it. What's it mean for consumers? How is this shift changing? And is there a danger that consumers could be slightly more easily swayed or misled because brands are managing to manipulate what LLMs are telling them?
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know if it's because clients can manipulate it. I think it's more that the LLMs on some level decide what that consumer is going to see.
Yeah.
So it's just, I guess it's like your agency is gone. You're no longer in control of what you're doing. Whether you really cared that much about, you know, your purchase journey anyway, you just wanted the right product. Now it's telling you what the right product is. These are large American AI companies who, you know, have to trust their ethics on being able to do the right thing.
So, oh, we've talked about that before. Don't worry. Oh. Hot topic. Don't get him started. What about other things that come into it? What about things like recency? So how recent something was written? Do the LLMs look a bit more favourably at that?
Yeah. You've been doing your research. I see. So it's...
makes a change.
So I think it is probably one of the, I guess, the best things you can do right now in terms of pickup. There is a little bit of a lag between an LLM finding your content and then it potentially updating the result, like potentially up to a week, depending on how popular your content is. So, but, you know, recency is key. I guess it's reasonably easy to show that your content gives the signal that it's been updated, whether it has or not. So it's sort of like Google will be a bit smarter in terms of like, we'll check it.
Yeah.
Here you just give this, you know, you can change the date.
Are there any mistakes in this area that, I don't know, brands or even consumers or even the big tech companies are
dragging
making
it down? Mistakes.
You've got to know.
Horror
to know.
Stories.
It's the only way you can learn.
I think it's too early to know. I think the only mistake, I think, is just not leaning into it.
Yeah.
People are reticent for a good reason, but perhaps, you know, the role that AI plays in their life, but the genie's out of the bottle. You've got to jump on this, especially businesses who are dependent on search.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, this is... because it's the data and the usage is a bit opaque, you know, we could see this overtake Google in 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. We just don't know. So it's, I think, got to be ready.
What's search going to look like in 5 years' time? If I ask you to gaze into your crystal ball.
Not too dissimilar to what it does now.
That's the one for the socials.
Which is just like, Google are not to be like messed with. And they're already introducing their AI piece. There are two bits, the AI stuff. Like there's the B2B side of like everybody in the office using it, which is probably where the money is for them. And then there's the consumer side. Ultimately, Google already like every consumer knows who they are. They've already got that footprint. So they're just slowly eking it out. So, and I don't know if ChatGPT and the like really need to be there and to fight Google on this.
Yeah.
So the results might look a little different. But yeah, my money's on Google.
Before you go, we often play a little game called ChatGPT Roulette. I don't know if chat is your LLM of choice, but whichever one is, we open up our phone and we're going to be truthful and we're going to share the last prompt that you put into your LLM of choice. Ooh. Listeners will know that mine and George's are desperately boring. I'm going to start with you, George. What have you got?
This is quite dull, but not as dull as usual. I've turned to ChatGPT to help, to give me a bit of taste making.
Right.
So for books, for reading. Okay. So I've given it a handful of books that I've absolutely loved reading over the last few years and asked it for some recommendations. And it gave me a book called The Mystic River by Denis Lahan. It's not a new book. It's about 20 years old.
Right, okay.
I just finished it. Absolutely fantastic.
Good recommendation.
A brilliant recommendation.
Okay.
And I totally, you know, we talk about patterns and trends.
Mm.
It totally took the patterns and trends of the books that I love and gave me something very much in that mold, but well-reviewed and a brilliant, brilliant book. So for once, I'm very grateful to AI for giving me a fantastic recommendation.
Yeah, let me get this out of the way because you're gonna beat this, Rich. I was asking for an SX1500 waste or drain outlet. Is it a threaded port or not?
Why are you always asking it the most boring, like,
because it's good
building
and
things?
I got the answer I wanted.
Good.
You do a lot of DIY, don't you?
Thank you. Rich Rowley.
Also mine,
it wasn't a compliment.
I asked mine to build a website. So,
the thing is, welcome to the Premier League, everyone.
And it did.
It built you an entire website.
But a legit good one. Legit
really?
Good one. Yeah. And where did you, what LLM did you use?
I use Claude.
And have you, it's like a good subscription, like a, I'm assuming you got a good
subscription. I've upgraded to like the $100 a month one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is more than enough. But the problem is I have an idea. And then I execute on that idea without really giving it any thought. And then 30 seconds later, I built the entire website.
That's incredible.
And then I'm like, oh, did I need to build that?
What did you feed into Claude to get the website? What did you give it?
It's very detailed, yeah.
No. And it was also like one shot. So one shot meaning it gets the whole thing in the first go. So I haven't tweaked it, edited it, said like more of this, less of that. It just produced it. I wanted to it's like a classified website, like complicated at scale. But the brief would have been like two or three words on two or three lines,
it's incredible,
and it produced it.
And you then take that website and edit it yourself and have access to the back end and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Wow,
not bad. This
might be that might be the top answer we've had.
It's good. Well, I mean, it's certainly the most effective use of Richard, thanks again for joining us.
Thank
lovely
you very much.
To chat.
Cheers. Thank you.
That was interesting. That was good, wasn't it?
You sound surprised.
Well, I am because, look, if you say, we booked a podcast guest to come and tell us about SEO, it does sound, a little bit...
You don't have to say it.
It sounds a little bit boring.
SEO.
He's good. And
really good.
He's one of the best people that I know who can just explain things in, pretty simple terms, because it can be quite complicated.
Yes.
No relation to the other Rowley who we know and love, friend of the show,
Phil Rowley.
No relation.
Not his brother?
Same haircut.
he's bald.
Like the rest of us.
What?
Read the room.
It's a podcast. Audio describe. You're describing me. why did we not... Because Rich is clearly top of the game when it comes to this stuff. Clever, clever man. Why did we not ask him how to infiltrate searches about AI podcasts into LLMs?
I thought that's where you were going with that question.
Silly.
I thought you were trying to get under the skin or little handshake as you go out. £20 in there.
I should have done that, shouldn't I?
Such a waste of
time. And now I've said on paper that it was a boring topic. He's not going to help us anymore.
Rich, why won't you pick up your phone? Oh, shame.
And can I clarify? It wasn't boring. It was very interesting.
Yeah, it's good.
Never judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Learned a lot there. Thank you again to Richard for joining us on the show. We'll be back on Friday with all the latest news from the world of AI, James's big thing. And if you have a listener question that you would like James to tackle,
please
send us our way, please. AIHaven'tAClue@gmail.com. But for now, we'll say a big thank you to Team AI Haven't a Clue, led beautifully by producer Molly Carter.
Beautifully.
A bigger thank you to you for listening, because twice in a week, sometimes you tune into our podcast, and we're very, very grateful that you want to find out a bit more about the world of AI with James and I love learning with you.
Okay.
Not you, James. I'm talking about the people listening. Do rate, subscribe, and share the podcast with a friend if they might want to know a thing or two more about the world of AI. But for now, as I said, we're back on Friday. And James, remember,
I'd like you to stay curious.